Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com to sign up for the free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Today, I want to talk a little bit about zero-based budgeting. And the first question you may have is, what is zero-based budget? Well, think about it like this. Let's go back to when you were in fourth grade and you're first learning about long division. Okay, and we all remember long division and how awful it was as a fourth grader. And what made it even more awful was when we had a remainder left over. Because we always questioned ourselves, at least I did, should I have a remainder? What's going on? Is this the right answer? Is my remainder right? Should I? And you're kind of wondering what to do with this little bit of extra number at the end of your long division. And that's kind of what we want to look at with zero-based budgeting, is we want to say, okay, we're going to divide out our money into different areas. We're going to say, okay, we're going to put a portion away towards giving. We're going to put a portion away towards our saving for our emergency fund. We're going to put a portion to make sure that we're paying our rent, our utilities, our car payments, all of those different things. As far as we're making sure that we're working through all of our things, as far as building our financial house, we're paying off our debt. We're whatever level of your financial house you're in at, that's where you're really focused. But you're making these assignments and you're dividing it all out into these individual items, okay? And as you're doing that, you want to make sure that you have no remainder at the end. If at the end of your budget, you're saying, okay, I have a remainder of, you know, $200, that's not a remainder you want to have. You want to have division into each of these areas because nobody likes a remainder. When we're doing long division, no remainders. We like it when it comes out nice and even and perfect and that we're able to split things out. And that is what your zero-based budget is. It means that at the end of your budget, when you total up everything and you've assigned all of your income into different expense items and debt items and savings items, that the number at the bottom of your budget is zero, okay? And what this means is that every single dollar that's coming in has a name and it has an assignment, okay? And it's okay to have some assignments that are fun. You can put some things into your entertainment budget. That's fine. You can put some things into a shopping budget. If you have leftover money at the end, after you've taken care of all of your financial house levels, and you say, hey, I've got a little extra here, have some fun with it, you know? Now, if you are working on that level of eliminating your debt in that financial house level, then you don't want to necessarily put a lot of money into those extra fun things. You want to get it into that eliminating debt because the faster you can get out of debt, the sooner you'll be able to have even more fun. Think about how much fun you can have if you didn't have any debt. So why do you want this way of budgeting? Why is it that we want to have a zero-based budget and at the end of our, after we've totaled everything up, we want it to equal zero? Well, think about this. If you are a general and each one of these dollars is one of your soldiers, and what you're going to do is you want to be sure that you have every soldier that has a job, right? Think about it. A general doesn't send his soldiers out to do just whatever. He doesn't have them go out with no assignment. They don't just go out to sit on the battlefield and play checkers, you know. They have an assignment. They are told a job that they're supposed to do, whether it be building a bridge or if it's going to be on the front line of fighting or if they're working on the back end with the technology and they're doing intelligence. Whatever their job is, every soldier in that army has a job and has something that they are supposed to do. And that's how you need to treat your money. You don't want your money just to go off onto the battlefield and become missing in action. You know, if it becomes missing in action, then you're going to wonder, where did this go? Where did all my money go? But if you have that zero-based budget, then you are going to know where every one of your little money soldiers is. And they'll all have an assignment, they'll all have a name, and they'll all have a place that they're supposed to go. And what you'll find is that these are great soldiers. They do exactly what you're telling them to do. If you tell your soldier to go and pay your rent, it's going to pay your rent. If you tell your soldier to go and pay your utility, it's going to pay your utility. And by contrast, if you don't tell it what to do, it's going to become missing in action. And you're going to look and say, where did that money go? Where did that soldier run off to? And this way you have total control over your money. And that's a really great feeling to have. If you have total control over your money and where it's going, that is when you start feeling that financial power and that financial peace of mind, because you know that you're paying everything, all your bills are caught up, and you're eliminating debt. Or if you've already eliminated all your debt, you're investing and you're saving and you're building wealth. And it feels really, really good when you get to those points of each financial level as you're working to know that things are happening and you have a solid goal and a solid direction with your finances. Now, the way that you can create a zero-based budget, and one of the easiest ways that I found, is by doing a paycheck spending plan. I always find it interesting that most people seem to try to budget by month, and they have this monthly budget that they do, but yet most people don't get paid monthly. They get paid either every week or every other week or twice a month. There are a few people out there that do get paid monthly, and so it makes sense to have a monthly budget. But why is it that we do things on a monthly basis when we get paid not every month? That just seems like a possibility for money to not have a name. Okay, because for example, let's say that you're paid every other week. It is really hard to have a monthly budget when you're paid every other week, because twice a year, you're going to have an extra paycheck that comes in. Yeah, there's two times during the year that you're going to have three paychecks in a month instead of only two. And how do you account for that? You can't take your annual salary and divide it down into 12 to get how much you make each month. And you're going to have this little surprise that, you know, how am I going to account for this money that I get on that third paycheck if you figure I get paid twice a month? So it doesn't really work things out perfectly in a monthly budget. So what you want to do is create a paycheck spending plan where you say, okay, the first paycheck of the month I'm going to get, it's going to run from these dates. It's going to run from, let's say you get paid on the 1st, and it's going to run to the 14th. And then the next one is going to run from the 14th to the 28th. And then the next one from the 9th to the 12th, and so on and so forth. And you have these spaces of time that each of your paychecks are going to run and run through. And what you want to do is say, okay, if my paycheck is the 1st through the 14th for this one, then what bills and what expenses do I have that I need to pay from that paycheck? And there's really a couple of different types of expenses that you're going to pay. You're going to have your bills that you pay every month. And I think that's why a lot of people think of this monthly budget idea. But really, there are things that you pay out of every paycheck, aren't there? Things like groceries, some of the shopping items you need, buying household items. You know, there are things that every paycheck you're paying. And that makes difficulty in a monthly budget. Because are you paying that from your first paycheck or your second paycheck? Or if you have four paychecks, which paycheck is it coming out of for that monthly budget? It kind of can get confusing if you're running on that monthly idea. So let's take it down into that weekly or that biweekly or that twice a month. And let's plan it in that level, because we can take a lot more control of our money when we have it at that smaller level. So let's say, for example, you're paid weekly and you decide, okay, I am going to take $100 every paycheck to buy my groceries. I'm going to take $50 every paycheck to pay for my household items. And that money now has that label and it has that name, and you know exactly where it's going. And you're not going to, and that also is going to help you to not run into problems where, for example, if you say, okay, I'm going to pay $400 a month on food. Well, that first 2 weeks, you end up spending $400. What are you supposed to do with the rest of the month? That's when you run into an example of too much month at the end of the money, right? So by saying I'm going to spend $100 a paycheck, it keeps you on track so that at the end of the month, you're not running low and you still have that $100 from that end of the month paycheck to pay for your groceries and be sure that you're able to provide for your family. So it makes a lot of sense to divide these things down into that per paycheck. So those paycheck expenses, you want to make sure you account for them and say every paycheck I'm going to put $100 towards this expense. And then for your monthly expenses, you're going to find out which one they fall on. So again, going back to our example of the 1st to the 14th, if your electric bill is due on the 7th, you know you're going to pay your electric bill from that first paycheck. If your water bill is due on the 27th, then you know it's going to come out of the next paycheck. Okay, so you want to divide things out so you can figure out exactly what bill is being paid by which paycheck and giving it a name and an assignment and making sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do. Okay, and then you have your debts that you're going to be paying, and the debts are like a monthly expense. And you do the same thing. You say, okay, I'm going to pay my Visa card with this paycheck. I'm going to pay my MasterCard with this paycheck. My car loan goes with this paycheck. And you're able to then assign it, and you know exactly where that's coming from and when. And that way you don't run into issues at the end of the month saying, how am I going to pay for this car bill because I've ran out of money? I used too much of my paycheck and I used it in other places because my budget says I can use it elsewhere, right? So make sure that you're looking through and finding those when those things are due and what paycheck, and assign it that way. When I stopped budgeting by month and started budgeting by paycheck, I found that I really had a lot of control over my money, and I was creating those zero-based budgets to be able to make sure that each paycheck I had a zero at the end, and every single cent that I had was accounted for, and I knew where it was going, whether it was going into savings, paying for something, or what it was doing. So we have that zero-based budget, every paycheck spending plan. Let's jump over and answer a few questions. All right, our first question comes from Jessica. She says, I am doing Dave Ramsey's baby steps. Can Tregator work for me? Absolutely it can. One of the things that Dave Ramsey talks a lot about is taking control of your finances, the same that we talk about. And within Tregator, what you're able to do is set that paycheck by paycheck spending plan that we were talking about. And that's how Tregator is set up to help you budget, so that every dollar has a name and has an assignment. And also, let's say that you're on baby step 3 with Dave Ramsey, which is paying off debt, or in our case, you're building that financial house and eliminating debt, you're able to go in and put all of your debt into Tregator, and it is going to actually create and set up a debt elimination plan for you that every time you get into your spending plan, it'll tell you how much of your snowball is going to which debt, so that you can eliminate that debt even quicker. Let's say that you're in a different level of the financial house or a different step of Dave Ramsey. Let's say you're in your savings area and you want to save up for a fun vacation, or you want to save up for a big purchase. You're able to also do that in Tregator, where you're able to set what that goal is and when you want to achieve it, and it will tell you how much money you need to set aside in order to make that goal, and it will do it on a paycheck basis. One of the big things that we offer with Tregator that you don't get with some of Dave Ramsey's things is that we help you to plan for the alligator expenses that we've talked a lot about, because those are the budget busters. Those are the things that really frustrate people. And Tregator helps you to identify and eliminate those budget busters by helping you plan for them, by setting money aside for them each paycheck. And then when they come due, they're part of your spending plan and they are there. You can see them. So you pay them and they don't come up and bite you. Okay. And that's one of the neat things about Tregator that kind of separates it from some of the others out there, as well as that ability to do it by paycheck. Every other program out there has a monthly idea, which we've talked about can set you up for some failures. Whereas when you're doing things on that paycheck spending plan, you're able to determine where things are going on a more granular level and be able to make some great progress. So yes, absolutely, Tregator will work, and you can join and see how that can work with what plans you have going on. So good question, Jessica. Our next question is from Samantha. She says, we are getting killed by interest on one of our credit cards. We are paying over the minimum payment and the interest is almost wiping out our payment every time. Should I look into a balance transfer on the card? This is an interesting question, because it does make good sense to save money on interest. Okay, if you're paying a high interest, and it does make some sense to not have to pay so much interest so that you can put more on the principal. The danger that you're going to run into is if you transfer that balance and don't close out that existing card, it's going to be a temptation. So make sure if you go through with that balance transfer, you cancel out that existing card, because you don't want to run into a situation where you're running up more debt on that high interest credit card. The other thing you're going to run into is the possibility of other fees and other costs. I've seen this particularly with personal loans. People will ask about personal loans to pay off credit cards, and there's always an origination fee with a loan, and you're paying a lot of money out of the pocket to get this loan that has a lower interest, and you would need to pay it off pretty quick in order for it to make sense. So be really, really careful with a balance transfer. It does make sense to maybe transfer a balance if you're able to get out of debt more quickly, but be very, very careful, because if your financial habits aren't where they need to be, then it can cause you into getting into even more trouble and into higher debt. So I'm hesitant to say yes, do it, but I would think twice before doing it and see what other options you have to get out of that credit card quickly. Because it's scary when you're bringing on new debt to pay off old debt. That's always a scary situation. Next question is from Rachel. She says, my friend recently got fired from their job and they're asking me to co-sign on a loan. How do I tell her I can't do that? You know, it's hard because you have a relationship with that person and you don't want it to jeopardize your friendship, right? And I think that's really the core of the question is, how do I not do this and not ruin my friendship? Well, I think that what I would recommend is look at ways that you can help, okay? You can't co-sign on a loan. That's something that you're not willing to do for a lot of different reasons, because if they are, especially if they're unemployed, how are they going to be able to repay that loan? That's something that is very, very difficult, and how they really shouldn't be getting a loan if they're not employed, because they need to be able to make that payment and they're not able to right now, and that's why they need a co-signer. So I would look for things that you can do to help them. Maybe you can buy them some groceries. Maybe you can help them a little bit with paying for another expense that they have. Maybe you can help them by giving them a referral for a job, maybe at your company, or help them find something that can help meet their needs. I think that you could be a better help to this person by helping them get a job and get through this hard time, as opposed to co-signing for a loan. And I would take that approach with it so that you don't hurt their feelings and hurt that relationship, and offer help where you can. All right, great question, Rachel. We do, of course, welcome your questions. Please submit your questions to podcast@tregator.com. You can also go out to our Facebook site and post them there, and we would love to hear from you and be able to answer them. And once again, this podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to Tregator.com to sign up for the free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Also, on your player, there is a link to take you out to the sponsor so you can get your free trial started right away. And also, while you're in the clicking mood, make sure that you do subscribe to our podcast. We love having you as part of our audience and hope that you never miss an episode. And you can do that by subscribing. It's always great to have you as part of our audience. Thank you for listening. Please do subscribe. Please visit our sponsor. And please submit those questions. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.